goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans? Can you feel it in the air? It is officially, it's not even football week. It's not even football anything. It's football season. This is a football Friday. We got high school games in the area tonight and tomorrow. North Dakota State is going to open their season in the Dome with full capacity fans, full tailgating. Zach Willis, you got to be excited.
I couldn't be more excited. It's football season. Let's go.
It is. It really is. Just going to be, man, it's going to feel, and those of you that are listening to this have heard the BR 200 episode, which is awesome. We want to thank everybody, you know, that made that thing possible. But like Cole Haynes said, I mean, we're still dealing with the Delta variant. Like, COVID's not over.
Right.
But this was a step towards normalcy, or will be a step towards normalcy that I think everybody's going to appreciate.
Yeah, you know, just even watching other games in the last week on during week zero, just seeing fans in the stadium, you hear the band, you see the cheerleaders, it's just seems to be a normal vibe again for football.
Except at UCLA.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, wild news. This just a little behind the curtain, folks. It's a busy week for everybody. We're recording this on Tuesday evening. A little behind the curtain. So today, it's news, real life news, that Zeb Nolan, our guy number 8, who went decided to forego because he wasn't going to start here. I mean, that was pretty clear.
Yep.
Decided to forego his final year of what ends up basically being COVID eligibility and joins Shane Beamer's staff at South Carolina. They lose their starting quarterback and throw Zeb into a competition to play with their other non-starting quarterbacks. And who just won that competition?
Mr. Nolan did.
It's absolutely wild. Oddly enough, his first start is going to be against an FCS opponent in Eastern Illinois. Hopefully with an SEC supporting cast, he can kind of get his feet on the ground. But what a wild, unprecedented story.
I was talking to other guys on the team about this, and like, you couldn't write something like this.
I know.
It's unbelievable. It's like, you know, you don't want to use the Rudy comparison, but it's almost along those lines.
Yeah. It, like if Coach Singer came here with one more year of eligibility and they were short at like tailback or receiver or quarterback and he had to strap on the pads, man. Like it's you just couldn't even dream it up. All these GAs that think they've still got it, and here is Zeb with an opportunity to really prove that he does.
He's putting GA Nation on his back right now.
He's
their wonder boy. It's awesome.
And honestly, too, I mean, arguably his highest level of competition. I know that Iowa State is Power 5, but this what does the SEC say? It's just different here or whatever the heck they're, you know.
It's SEC football. I mean, it's on a different level.
And depending, obviously, on Doty's health, you know, we might get multiple Zeb Nolan experiences because – you never know. It's a foot, and you just never know.
Right.
Those can be quick, and they can be super not quick also.
Yeah, I'm here for it all, especially, like I mentioned to you, if he's wearing 25, I might become a Gamecocks fan.
Sure. Okay, so this one's a little tricky because you and I know a thing that maybe we shouldn't know.
Correct.
Which is our business.
Yeah.
But we're hopeful that by today, we will not get in trouble. Today being Friday, again, behind the curtain, there has been a throwback uniform released by North Dakota State.
Yeah.
That as of now, on Tuesday, behind the curtain, we have not seen.
and me and you have kind of been in a panic since we found out, hoping this doesn't stink.
But right. So
yeah.
Breaking news. New NDSU uniform. We are not like again, we're not sure. Early reports are white letters, white sleeves, green numbers, which is a throwback to an earlier championship team. It's a look that has promise. We have concerns about potentially the pants.
Yeah.
And other than that, the socks and shoe, I mean, I've looked at that uniform and it's a workable throwback look. For not sure. The one that NDSU has, the one that they are supposedly basing this off of. And it's been a while since they went true throwback. I think people love the snorty swag. Mm-hmm. I think people love the snorty alternate helmet. But they have not gone with a true throwback uniform in a very long time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be all about execution. Because in theory, like, we were sending what we think this might look like.
Yeah.
And it could go one of two directions in extreme capacity.
Sure.
And I'm hoping it's good.
All right. And we're also really hoping that we're not accidentally breaking this story because they didn't release these uniforms.
Yeah. So if it hasn't happened by now.
There's a decent chance this part's getting edited out. All right. Some updates from the world of the NFL. Again, this is recorded on a Tuesday, going out on a Friday. But Easton Stick has made the Los Angeles Chargers. Jabril Cox, I don't think anybody was too scared about that one, has made the Cowboys. Shep has not made the Chiefs, but I would not be surprised if by now he is not back on their practice squad. Dave Tobe is one of the best special teams coaches in the NFL and has said nice things about Darius repeatedly. So I just would not be surprised if they don't keep him around as a potentially sure-handed receiver, a sure-handed returner. I know that's something that Tobe made sense, and Shep being from Blue Springs, Missouri, man, that would be a dream come true. Tuska also released from the Denver Broncos. John Cooper really came on strong and beat him out for that fourth edge position there with the Broncos. Mike Kills from the Denver area, long, long time Denver Broncos beat guy, reporting that the Broncos want Tuska back on the practice squad as a potential in-season call-up, whether it's for injuries or whether it is for the call-up rule where you can expand the game day roster and add guys that are on your practice squad. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tuska is back on the Broncos sooner rather than later. Zach Johnson was released by the Green Bay Packers, and Carson Wentz has found himself on the COVID-19 list. But Zach, right now is not the time for the vaccination conversation.
No, sure isn't. So, you know, kind of just let that be what it is.
All right. Now we're going to bring on a very special guest, somebody that hopefully you guys have read about already on Bison Report, with quotes from this very interview, and that's Mekhi Collins. And, you know, that's a big deal. Mekhi Collins is, I think, pretty easily the highest touted recruit that is part of this specific recruiting class, that being the class of 2022. And I think, you know, the biggest feather in his cap from an NDSU perspective are those other offers. He rattles off all of these in this upcoming interview, but the ones that I think everybody's really pointing to are Iowa State and Kansas State.
Yeah, those are big time offers. So, you know, I saw that come across my feed last night, and you get excited about that as as an alum now. And you're just like, you know, we don't, the old adage of we don't rebuild, we reload. I mean, we're getting some pretty special players in now.
For sure, and I think it's an exciting time if you're Cole Payton too. You know, you're looking at what you potentially have coming down the road, and we're talking about Bryce Lance, you know, now all of 6'3.5", and then you've got Mekhi Collins coming in at 6'5", a kid who's also a hooper. And, you know, was really close to, I actually had a brief conversation with Kyan Brown about how close NDSU was to kind of evaluating him as a D1 hooper. And they really liked him. Not maybe necessarily like offer a scholarship, but this kid has legitimate basketball skills, basketball feet, the ability to high point the football. He's an awesome athlete.
Yeah, stuff that's going to translate to playing receiver at this level.
For sure, for sure. And so anytime, you know, you can't even really talk often about even Luke Wirtz without mentioning that NDSU beat Kansas State for his services. And it's something that people mention with Gindy all the time. over a Minnesota offer. That's something that's going to kind of basically be with him during his entire career, and it's something that is going to set an expectation for the young man.
Yeah, and I think that's good for guys like him. You know, that come out, it keeps them humble and realizing that they have an expectation to live up to when they come here.
Absolutely. All right. So for your listening pleasure right now, we are going to play my interview with the newest member of the NDSU class of 2022, Makai Collins. So kind of want to, I guess, start at the beginning a little bit. When did you first come into contact with North Dakota State? And also, you know, when did you kind of make the decision between hoops and football?
So I would say when I first made contact with NDSU, I think it was like the start of last summer start of this summer, I think it was. Yeah. Started this summer was the first time I talked to NDSU. I talked to Coach Larson. That was my first coach I talked to. And then the time I chose hoops or football over hoops was kind of at the end of last year's football. I realized that my football or my hoop scholarships may not come. So I think I finally transitioned myself to focusing just on football and focusing on getting myself stronger and faster and things like that, focusing all on how the ways I could help myself get better at football.
Yeah, and I think, you know, speaking of football scholarships, that's kind of where I want to go next, because I think it's interesting to people, you know, that you for sure had at least one Power 5 offer that we know about. Who at the Division I level, who did make you a football offer?
I had 8 offers from Iowa State, Air Force, Eastern Michigan, South Dakota State, Kansas State, NDSU, and you and I.
So I think that kind of has to be the question for you, as far as the thing on everyone's mind. They see a kid like you commit. Obviously, fans of NDSU are very, very excited. But the question I think on everybody's mind is, okay, Iowa State is the 7th-ranked team in the AP Top 25, or at the end of last season. I think they're 8th coming into this season. That's a top 10 overall program. Kansas State, long, rich history in the Big 12. What made you decide on North Dakota State as opposed to those options?
I felt like that when I come to NDSU that I could be a part of the NDSU tradition, and just this, like, NDSU is just as good as those Big 12 schools. And I feel like when I get there, I'm going to face the same competition. I'm going to be almost at the same level in my mind. And I just feel like NDSU could compete with those Big 12 schools just as well as any other school could.
NDSU's got a receiver on the roster this season, Christian Watson. I think he's going to be a top 100 pick. Have you seen him play? And maybe not necessarily Christian, but with your size, who's a good comparison either in college or pro football to kind of your game? Not necessarily that you're saying you're as good as them, but stylistically, things they do well.
I have seen Christian play. I think twice, and he's really impressive. I agree. But I try to compare myself a lot to Keenan Allen a little bit, because his routes are really crisp, and I'm not the fastest, so I try to like make sure I'm quick with my first step or things like that, and I try to have really good hands so I can go high point a ball or catch low pass if I need to. So I really try to focus myself on my route running, because I know that sometimes I'm not going to be able to just use my speed to run past guys.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the number one thing people focus on at North Dakota State for receivers, maybe even recruiting against them, is how often you're asked to block and how physical you can be, because, you know, in 60 plays, the Bison might run at 40 and throw at 20. So there's not going to be, you know, the target share you might see at another university, and you might have to, you know, kind of do the dirty work for the better of the team. Is that something that excites you?
Yes, sir. When I came to NDSU for their camp, we did one-on-ones, and one of the drills was blocking. And Coach Pauly told me that I was very physical, and he loved the way I blocked. So if I think that if he thinks I'm a good blocker, then I know I could even become better at it. And I could also get down with the hand in the ground and block whoever I need to.
What were your first impressions of, like, Fargo? And maybe they showed you the plans for the indoor practice facility, but certainly, you know, the Academic Success Center and the shack, the, you know, where you guys would train and the locker room and things like that. Just your feeling, your vibe being up here.
I was actually very impressed when I first got there. Like, me and my dad both got there, and we were like, we were just starstruck by the dome in the first place, and then everything around it, the new facilities coming, things like that, everything that we talked about and that we saw, we were both wowed by it, and I'm very impressed with NDSU's, like, whole scenery, because you look at it, and it's, like I said, just like all these Big 12 schools or any, like, Big 10 schools or things like that, the facilities, the place, the fans, everything is the same, if not better.
I want to ask you kind of about your class, because in today's day and age, you'll see these recruiting classes get in group chats together or, you know, share each other's highlights on social, really kind of become a group before they even get to campus. Has that been your kind of feeling with North Dakota State's class of 2022, now that you've become a part of it, that you guys are kind of already in this together?
Yes, sir. I've had multiple guys reach out to me before I committed, after I committed, things like that. And we're all talking about, like, becoming roommates. We're all becoming really good friends now. And it's just the connection that we're already building before we even get to campus is already top tier. And I'm already falling in love even more than I already was. I like it a lot. It's crazy to think about. But, yeah, the connection I'm building with these guys is going to be there forever. So I'm really excited.
Makai, how important was it for you to have a decision made going into your senior season so you can kind of focus on your high school team?
That was my thing I really wanted to do. I was thinking about making my decision last month, but end of last month, early this month. But I obviously decided to wait a little bit just to see, like, what I really wanted to do. And I knew I was set on NDSU, I'd say, like, 2 weeks ago. And so I just had to do some final deciding, and I got it done. And now that I do have it done, it's something that I'm very excited for. I can focus on my season, and once my season's done, I can focus on college now.
All right, Makai, I really appreciate your time. Do you have any final message for Bison fans?
I do not, but I'm very excited for our future there. Roll herd.
All right, thanks, Makai. I really appreciate it, man. Look forward to meeting you when you get up here.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Good luck. We certainly appreciate Makai taking the time to make himself available for us. A little bit of phone tag, a little bit of direct message tag between myself and the young man, but we got it done, and we really appreciate him, and we hope you guys enjoyed not only the article that I wrote that came out yesterday, but the conversation you were just able to hear with the 3-star wide receiver out of the state of Minnesota. Zach, we got big news.
Yes, we do.
In addition to, I'm guessing from a release perspective, you guys already know about the Big Deck Tailgate Show because we've talked about it. My guess is we're going to drop this bad boy right away in the morning, and then late-ish morning, I would guess around 11 a.m. If you guys are listening now, you're one of our Bison Report diehards. You love Bison Report Radio, and you listen to it when it comes out at 9 o'clock in the morning on Fridays, in your cubicle, on your way to work. We love you. 11 a.m. is my guess for the Big Deck Tailgate Show. But more important than that, we, Bison Report and the Big Deck Tailgate Show, and the Big Deck Barbecue Company, are going to be at tailgating prior to the game. We're going to have our brand new, I mean, the vehicle's not new, but to us it is, our new tailgating rig, the Bison Report bus, named to be maybe potentially improved, but right now it's the Bison Report bus. Zach and I, Bison Report and Big Deck Barbecue Company, are going to have food and beverage for y'all.
We're excited to see all of you. Like you said, we're coming back to normal. We're going to have some Big Deck Barbecue products. We're going to have some food out there.
I might work in a couple of giveaways. We got a couple of hats. I got some Bison Report golf balls left. We We may be able to work in a couple of giveaways, but really, this is about you guys. This is about the people. This is about the return to tailgating. So please stop by, grab a beverage, get some food. We're thinking wings. And we are going to have the smoked queso from the episode at the tailgate.
Yeah.
Obviously the same stuff, because that would be kind of gross.
Yeah.
But we are going to have smoked queso at the tailgate. What else is on the menu, Zach?
I think we're going to do some pulled pork and possibly some mac and cheese. So, you know.
Okay.
Got to make sure people know our stuff tastes good, and that's how we keep them coming back.
Oh, that would be awesome. Okay. Sweet. So come and see us. We will be in the West parking lot. We'll be in the old West parking lot, the original, the OG. We're going to be kind of towards the southern side. If you ask, like, Tony Ambrose, our guy, he'll tell you where we are.
Yeah. You'll find us.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Tony. We appreciate anybody that has the time to come and see us at the tailgate before the Albany game. We'd be very, very, very pleased and excited to see you. Love to shake some hands. Love to kiss some babies and give the people what they want. Speaking of what the people want, let's get into this game preview. We mentioned that this is probably a game where they're heavily favored. In fact, in a little bit, I'm going to pull up the actual line so we figure out kind of where Vegas sees this one. But a game where they're going to be favored, and I think the number one thing that anybody wants to look at, I guess, is the quarterback. Anytime you have a quarterback battle, anytime it's not the incumbent, that's going to be the shiny new thing that people want to see. Right. Zach, what do you want to see from not even just the offense, specifically Quincy? What do you want to see from Quincy?
Well, you know, coming out from not playing football for however long he was out due to the transfer and stuff like that, now COVID, you just want to see him get that first lick out of the way. You know, every football player talks about the nerves, and then you get the first hit and you're good from there. So I kind of want to see him get that out of the way. You know, play with composure and just be efficient. There's no reason to go out and try to beat the world in this one. Just go out, stick to the game plan, and do what he needs to do.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I definitely want to see him put in the air, because I don't think between you and I don't think there's any reason to be concerned that he might not be able to run. I don't think anybody is worried about that at all. I think people are certainly excited to see sort of the return of the dynamic QB run game. And Cam Miller was mostly fine, you know, kind of in that space, but he wasn't successful, you know, to the point where I think folks would have liked, wasn't as dynamic with the ball in his hand. Certainly, I think more dynamic than when they tried to run some of that stuff with Zeb. But ultimately, I don't think anybody believes anything other than they're going to see some really, really cool stuff from Quincy on the ground. What I want to see is the number one thing that we were concerned about, which is that 44 and 45% completion percentage at Virginia Tech. I want to see throws that are on time and on target.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to, you know, Cam and just that running aspect, it's a part of the game where we can keep that up our sleeve, where now they have to account for all 11. You know, he's 50 pounds heavier than Cam. That's a little bit of a difference in the run game. But like I said, I just want him to go out there. No reason to push, no reason to freak out. Just like you said, show that there's been a market improvement in that accuracy department.
All right. We have found, and that's going to bring me actually, Zach, right to our next point. We have found the odds here for this game. And right now, North Dakota State is laying 25.5 points. So that's pretty significant. I said on our season preview, I would guess that they're going to be favored by 4 touchdowns. That's basically, you know, what this is. So Vegas doesn't think it's going to be much of a game. Now, I think they were 17-point favorites against Southern Illinois. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
You know, you can still lose a game by 30 points that you were favored by 3 touchdowns.
Vegas isn't always right.
Yeah, that can happen. But in general, the folks do not give the Albany what's the mascot here?
Great Danes.
It's something awesome. I was going to say something. It's something awesome. I almost said Terriers, and that would have been wrong, and then I would have got some heat. Yeah. So, 25.5 points. What are you hearing not, I mean, what are you hearing about Albany? What have you seen from them? What are guys that you still talk to that are watching the film? What have you heard about the Great Danes?
The guys I talk to on the team are mainly offensive linemen.
Of course.
So I've gotten previews of
the Nobody D-line. Else likes you guys.
No. Except for DBs, like I said, middle
right.
linemen.
Right.
But just the main thing is they got some dogs on the D-line. So
okay.
I think it's going to be a good test for these guys to really see what the improvements have been from a full regular summer with Kramer and then a normal fall camp. I'm excited to see them go against some guys with some snap.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, that I talked to the Mostart twins, and I believe it was Eli that said they're really excited to hit somebody else. Right. There's been plenty of Bison on Bison crime, but they've got an absolute unit here at 3-Tech in Mason Walker.
Number zero.
Mason. M-A-Z-O-N Walker. 5'9", 260. How, as a center, how much fun would it be to block somebody at the 3-Tech that's 5'9", 260?
You know, I've used this comparison, you know, talking to you about Buto even. It's like lifting a snapping turtle out of the muck. Like,
for sure.
Good luck lifting those guys. They have pad level, and, you know, you see 260, that's kind of just on the weight side, that's moderately undersized, but guys, 5'9". I mean, that's a different kind of animal you're trying to block every play.
For sure, and I think Jared Verse might have been freshman of the year or CAA newcomer of the year, something like that on the defensive side, too, as an end, and now he carries that redshirt freshman designation because nothing counted last year.
Right.
That's a good young player.
Yeah, 6'4", 256. Just looking at that, I mean, good size.
Yeah.
You know, so that'll be good for the tackles to see. And like I said, you know, it's high praise coming from the Rams if you get anything positive out of them about an opponent.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, that's how I know that these guys have a little juice to them.
So, I mean, that's going to be interesting, and I think it's an important test for an offense that we have a super high opinion of. I mean, I think both you and I believe with this tailback group getting healthy and with this offensive line getting healthy that this has a chance to really be a special group. What are your expectations for your boys, the Rams? Our guy Kubis going to start at right guard. You guys have hopefully seen the BRTV episode I did with him, but returning a ton of experience when you talk about Nash and the two tackles and then Jalen Sundell finally hopefully settling into that center spot with a real fall camp.
Yeah, it takes a long time to learn how to play center at an effective rate. You know, Jalen's a freak athlete, so that's given, but it's a different kind of animal playing that pivot spot right there on the O-line. My expectations are obviously physicality. You know, that's a given with an offensive line at NDSU. The thing I really want to see improve from this spring is just the cohesiveness. It almost seemed like guys weren't on the same page sometimes in the spring. So see that communication really come together and see them play like an offensive line at NDSU plays.
And specifically, you know, kind of want to challenge one of your best friends in the whole world, and that's Nash Jansen, who he himself mentioned to you improved pad level. Matt Entz, in his press conference on Monday, going out of his way to mention that Nash needs to play with pad level. But he's one of the most athletic kids on the entire team. And I think you could potentially see NDSU's offensive line go to another level if he can go to another level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, will be – could go down as, like, in that conversation as one of the best of all time on the offensive line if he plays what – to the level he's capable of doing. And, you know, he's my best friend, and I've told him that many times because he's an animal and I want to see that come out of him. And I'm excited to see how 66 plays on Saturday.
I am too. You know, you talk about a kid at that weight with that size, if he can be a little bit more technically sound, he should be moving people. I do not envy him trying to get down to, and getting that 5'9 kid out of there, though. That's going to be a lesson in pad level quick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, talk about baptized by fire. I mean, guy's a foot shorter than you, so figure it out.
Man, that's going to be really, really exciting to watch. The offensive line, I think, is one of the groups that underperformed in the spring. I think that's fair to say, and I think they'd agree. And honestly, I don't think it was all their fault.
No, not at all.
Okay. Let's get into theoretical. Let's make some people mad at us if we haven't already been banned for breaking the uniform news. If the game does get out of hand, let's just say fourth quarter, and it is 38-10. They're up four scores. This one's over. How much do you continue to develop the passing game and knowing that you're probably going to want to hold at that four games for Cole Payton, do you get him involved at all?
I would imagine so. You know, you get your healthy amount of reps for Cam, obviously, because Cam right. Miller's a good football player.
And he's one snap away.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And but there's nothing compared that you can do in practice to seeing live bullets throwing in the Fargo Dome. It's just different.
Yeah.
So I want to see Cole, you know, theoretically, you know, 38-10 in the third quarter. Those are games I was playing in.
Yeah. So it's your time.
So I want to see guys like, you know, there's no reason to – I wouldn't expect this from T-Roll either to step off the gas pedal at all.
Right.
Let's develop these guys. It's live reps. It's just another opportunity to get better. And I'd be really excited to see those young cats throw the ball around the yard.
All right. Let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. A word that got thrown around by me, frankly, last year was undersized. And I believe it was Eli again, mentioned that this group of defensive tackles is a little bit undersized. They want to get up to that 280, but you got some defensive tackles playing that 265, 270, 275 range, and we mentioned wanting to keep these 205-pound linebackers clean. Is the size thing a concern for you?
You know, traditionally you think of those big, giant D tackles, the 300-pounders, you know, guys like Tangway, guys like Steidel, like big dudes plugging gaps.
And yeah.
You know, and I think it's a little give and take on what you get in the pass game from our D tackles because they're pretty versatile. Even yeah. those young cats running around, you know, they can get to the QB. But, you know, how well can they soak up a double team or how well can they take on a head-on block?
Right.
And, you know, undersize, you know, just looking at Albany's O-line, they're not giant dudes. So,
okay.
So I think that's something that can play in our favor here. But, you know, if you're undersized, you got to be able to pick your spots and win with different kind of technique. And I think, you know, Gazer is a heck of a development type coach.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm excited to see what he's done with those guys since spring and summer. But, you know, 6'4", 295, nobody really over that 305 mark. I don't really see how there'd be too much an advantage for Albany here with our current crew of D-Tacks.
Sure, and I think, you know, when Mostert was talking about it, it was more along the lines of the season-long question of mm-hmm. of their size, not how do they specifically, you know, match up with Albany. And it's going to be a big deal. You know, I think those one-techs or those noses are going to have to, I think, step up. He talked about Javier Derrett needing to have a big season at 6'1", 285. Ching at 6'4", 284, and your guy, your trash can full of dirt, Michael Butel. I mean, in all seriousness, those guys have to soak up those double teams.
Yeah, and you got to be bigger just to withstand that abuse for an entire season.
Right.
So I think that's a concern going down the road, but, you know, more specifically for Albany, I think it'll be a good test because it's not exactly, you know, giant freaking dudes coming at you every play.
For sure. And again, tomorrow starts my campaign to get Lane Tucker on the All-America squad.
I will join your campaign.
Love it. He's so good.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Slept on.
Slept on for sure. Okay, front seven experience, something that, you know, I mentioned if you were unsatisfied with the performance of the front seven last year, I think if you watch South Dakota State, you have no choice but to be unsatisfied.
Right.
So very few, if any, like transfers or true freshmen outside of Jackson Duttenheffer, which Matt was really excited. But, man, asking a true freshman to make a big jump on the defensive line, especially the interior of the defensive line, I don't know about that.
That's a big ask.
Right. It's a big ask. So the front seven then has to be based on development.
Right.
And taking that next step because, holy cow, do they return experience. I'm just going to name off the guys that saw or at some point have seen significant playing time in this program. Kava, kind of, but still, he has.
Yep.
Rokes saw a little bit of work last year, but then you get to guys in Tony Pierce, Will Mostart, Logan McCormick, Barty Ogbu, Braden Thomas, Spencer Wagey, Eli Mostart, Javi Derrett, Lane Tucker, Costner Ching, and Michael Buteau. These guys are just on the defensive line. And then you talk about Wisniewski and, of course, the three linebackers that have now played a ton of football. Tons and tons and tons of experience on the defensive front seven, but no new blood. So your improvement has to come from within.
Yeah. You rattle out those guys. You know, I came on the team obviously with them, but it feels like they've been there for 9 years. It's just names you've been saying forever. And it's just one of those things, like you said, the more reps, it's like, okay, are we falling to what we're used to? Are we ready to take that next step? And there's a lot of pride in Code Green, and I would expect that they took it upon themselves to take that next development step like you're talking about.
For sure. And I think that's going to be, honestly, the key to the season. If I know people talk about the cornerback battle, and obviously if the quarterbacks stink, it's not going to happen.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen. What I actually do kind of have concern about is this front seven and seeing that progression. Can they win at times last year when they failed?
Right. It's just something you've never seen from an NDSU D-line, the way like we played against SIU, for example, or SDSU, as you mentioned. It's just uncharacteristic of what we're used to seeing. So, you know, like you said, it's going to come down to, are you ready to not get your butt kicked like that every game, or are you ready to take that next step and start dominating people like we expect?
For sure. Okay. Defensive backs. I'm really excited. I am. I want it. I have so many questions that I want answered.
Right.
You know, we've mentioned like when you have Case and Jasir, you sometimes don't go nickel. You don't go sub because Why go sub when Jasir can cover like that? Mm-hmm. But if they ever do, you know, if the other team's running 10 personnel and they've got four wide out there, again, you have Kayser, who's really a safety. So it's like, do you sub out? But if they do, I'm interested to know. You kind of have three corners that you like at this point. Well, okay, so do you play Destin and Jaden and Courtney? Okay, well, which one of those have you trained in at nickel?
Right.
Have you not? Is Tutsi your nickel, and you're going to play Dom and Dawson high?
Yep.
Or maybe you just don't play sub, which is kind of insane in today's day and age of football, but that's really interesting to me. The other thing that's really interesting to me is that Matt basically said both Gerard Vines and Talbert are going to find time at corner. If the game gets out of hand, then I think you might get a chance to see Anthony Coleman or Gennaro Okama, and certainly Marquis Siegel.
Yep.
Maybe even Britton Pascoe or another one of these true freshman corners, though I haven't heard a ton of steam. Corner is one of those positions that you can get a true freshman out there, which is something that we saw with Courtney. I'll never forget Christian Dudzik explaining it to me, that he felt like corner was the easiest position on the entire team to learn, but maybe the most challenging athletically.
Yeah, you're running backwards, covering the biggest freaks on the field.
Right. But there aren't that many checks and things. Like, your responsibilities kind of stay the same. And that's why when you've seen really, really good freshmen at corner, they make it on the field, because the mental side is not that taxing and you're already a freak.
Right. Back to our guy, Jay Hayes. You know, it was kind of a one snap away situation. But, I mean, he went in and balled out because he was a freak.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just a big part of playing that position.
For sure. And you go back to that first championship win over James Madison with he and Bridges basically having no experience. You're out Jalen Allison. I can't remember who the other corner was that was out that game injured, but that had been the starter. Those guys came in and did a phenomenal job in that game, and I kind of think set the tone that they were going to be players to be reckoned with moving forward.
Yeah, they play with a lot of pride in that room too, because a lot of it is one-on-one. Did you win your job? So the theme for me is on Saturday, getting all these questions answered. We're
going to
see about the quarterback. We're going to see about the offensive line. We're going to see how that front seven holds up. And like you said, the one I'm probably most excited about is how are these DBs going to play?
For sure. No, I think that's the most exciting. And the unknown's always exciting. But, you know, getting that Jaden Price pass over the top of his head to basically lose the game, and it's not his fault. you know, Gindy and Cam could have hooked up on that touchdown pass. A running back could have broken it. Ganella could have broken that. Offensive tackle X could have not missed that block. Linebacker Y could have not missed that tackle. That game does not fall on his head, but you get that burned in your mind. I can't remember if it was a third and long or a fourth and long, and it's burned in your mind, that play. And so it's like, who has maybe the most to prove on this roster? And the answer might be the defensive backs.
I would agree. And JP is one of those guys that, you know, they always talk about the short-term memory playing corner. But when you show up day in and day out to grind in the summer and run patterns, you know he's thinking about that situation. It's just something that you use to fuel you, and I'm excited to see how these guys bounce back.
All right, I want
to
talk about something a little scary.
That was scary.
This special teams battery, let's talk about it. Because right now, you got a true freshman at long snapper. Number one on the depth chart, by the way, Zach. Number one. And I believe it's going to be a punter we've never seen. Yep. Wags is gone.
Yep.
A lot of returning experience at place kicker, because both Griffin Crosa and our guy Riney from Fargo Shanley still there.
Everybody's been playing there.
But how concerned are you, especially with Hofstad as the backup long snap? I mean, is there concern about the special teams battery? Folks forget it's a third of the game. I mean, it's an important phase. I will say this. They are going to be so loaded on coverage. They have so many freaks that are going to be, I mean, you talk about Wirtz and both of the backup outside linebackers in Kubitz and Wisniewski.
Yeah.
Ladarchik. I mean,
freak shows.
They have absolute freak shows to run down on teams. So I am excited about that. But do you have special teams concern?
Of course. I mean, I think just going through, people take for granted how a good long snapper and a good punter, that whole operation.
Right. And NDSU has had borderline pros for like a decade.
Yeah, at both positions.
Yes.
So, it's along that same theme of let's get these questions answered.
Yeah.
So, I played with Steindorf and I haven't seen this long snapper, but, you know, we talked every week that if a kick gets blocked, your chances of winning go down by like 78%.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's a big thing that you need to get shored up.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind that if they didn't have trust in it, they would find some way around it or get somebody in there that they did trust.
Rugby punt or figure it out.
Whatever you got to do.
Yep.
And but you just got to hope they have that chemistry that they can get the job done on Saturday.
Okay. All right, let's get into game predictions. I'm going to go with you first. How do you see this one playing out?
You know, just on that Vegas number 25.5, correct?
Yes.
Yep. I will I'll take the under on that.
So you would take the Great Danes
to cover. Yeah. But
I'm just trying to bait you to no, I understand what you mean. Yeah, no, I understand what you mean.
Yeah, it seems like we find a way every time. Like even when we played Butler, whatever that number was, like 28.5, I think we won by 28. Or
sure,
people lost on the hook. So like,
yeah, and they certainly didn't cover against Central Arkansas.
Right.
Yep.
But you know, I think we're gonna win handedly, and I'm fairly confident in that. I just want to see the team play well. That's the biggest thing. I don't really care if we, whatever you want to see them as the opening game. You know, whatever your status of Albany is, I just want to see a good game from the Bison.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think this is a team that's pissed. I don't think they really understand how to end a season the way that, even though it was, look, you can say we throw it out because it's spring. You can say a whole bunch of things. They weren't really bought in. They didn't have, you know, they expected to have Trey for that team. They didn't, whatever. This is a team that ended the season with a loss and a program that doesn't really understand how to deal with that. Right. It's a quarterback with a ton to prove. It's an offense and a defense with a ton to prove. I've got NDSU 55, Albany 10. I think this is going to be an absolute statement from the Bison. I think they want to prove that they are not the team that you saw last spring, and I'm really excited to watch it.
If I'm a betting man, I'm going with my prediction.
Okay.
If I'm a Bison fan, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. All right, folks, thank you so much to Big Deck Barbecue Company. Thank you to Rise Training and Fitness. And we really hope to see as many of you at the tailgate as we possibly can. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody. And go Bison.